former revolutionary with us, and a statesman, Francis de Rossa from the Labour Party, is very kindly chatted in, I suppose, and we're very grateful to him for coming along. I'd like to invite him to the podium. Revolutionary, and must still be one. I'm not sure there's anything sort of I can add in terms of the technical approach, or you know, in terms of what alternatives there may be. But it does seem to me that the County Council and the government have late in the day decided that they do actually have to look at alternatives. They could have made that decision 12 months ago, and they chose not to because they assumed that those of us who were concerned about this matter would simply fold up our tents and go away. We haven't done so. One of the things that I've been involved in is the complaints to the Commission and the Petitions Committee of the European Parliament, of which I'm a vice chair. I don't know how many of you know about the Petitions Committee of the European Parliament, but the this is every citizen of the European Union has a right to make a formal complaint to the European Parliament about misapplication of European law or the absence of application of European law, and we deal with some thousands of such complaints every year in the committee. The procedure is that a complaint is made by the citizen or a group of citizens, and the committee will look at to see whether it's eligible or not. If it is, it will be sent to the Commission for examination. The Commission comes back with their opinion. They will consult the legal experts, etc., and they will give their opinion. We will look at it. We will consider it from a range of angles and make a decision. Perhaps immediately, and perhaps not. We may look for further information, etc., either from the national authorities or from the Commission itself, or indeed from the petitioners. We have been quite successful in a range of areas. We get complaints from a whole range of people from relating to recognition of professional qualifications. In Italy, for instance, is a big issue. You find that there are places where lots of problems occur in particular areas. Recognition of qualifications in Italy is the big issue in terms of complaints we get. Spain is a place where we had a lot of complaints about environmental impact assessments, and because there's a lot of development going on there, developments impinging on important areas of habitation, etc. We had the experience on one occasion of a petitioner producing evidence that the environmental impact assessment done on a particular road project in the south of Spain was in fact a carbon copy of an environmental impact assessment that had been done for a road in northern Spain. And so you can imagine the fuss that that caused. In fact, the outcome of that was that the money which the Commission had agreed to provide for the development was stopped, and the authorities in that area had to recommence their procedures and planning procedures and impact assessment procedures and so on. We don't always succeed. I mean, there are some of the issues. But I think the response we've been having from the Commission to date in relation to the Carrick Mines complaints, both from directly to the Commission and to the Petitions Committee, is an indicator that by being persistent and by presenting well-based facts to the Commission, that we can in fact get a hearing, and in fact that we can force indirectly a change of heart on government. I have no doubt that the contacts that the Commission have been making with the Department of Transport and the Department of the Environment in relation to this matter has resulted in relation to the decision they've made to sort of finish the two ends, to leave the middle alone until they can come to some arrangement in relation to that. The most recent reply that I got from the Commission indicated that they hoped to have a conclusion for us on the complaint within 2 months. This was a reply I got from dated just last week, I think, maybe even this week. I'm just telling you now. It was dated the 24th of June. The assessment raises precise technical questions that require careful examination. Separately, the Commission is aware that the work on the site has been halted by a legal action in the national courts related to compliance with national law. It is conscious of the desirability of advancing the examination of EIA aspects and hopes to be able to convey more precise information to the Honourable Member within the next 2 months. In fact, informal contacts with the Commission indicate that the report may be available sooner than that. There's a meeting of the Petitions Committee towards the middle of July, more of the last committee week, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that we may in fact have a conclusion to the Commission's examination of the case at that meeting. It meets on, I think it's the 8th and 9th of July. So the other point to make is that the initial sense that I got concerning the Commission's response to our complaints was that it was a routine matter, that it was really a matter for the state, that they only had to look at the whether the proper procedures had been complied with, you know, that they had gone to a public hearing, that they had had studies carried out and so on, and that more or less, if those procedures had been complied with, that they would be satisfied to let the thing go ahead. I think because we came forward with further information, and because the courts in Ireland decided that there was, in fact, a national monument issue here, the Commission, in fact, had since appointed their own archaeologist to look at the reports and the complaint that had been made. And it is based on that report. I don't know who the archaeologist is. I think someone or other here may know. I'm not in the archaeology circle. But it may be that someone knows. I presume it's a person in Ireland or perhaps in the UK. I just don't know. And I don't particularly want to know because I'd rather not sort of be in a position where I might ring them up and say, do you know what's going on? But so it's better that they do their job without any influence from my side of the house. But in any event, I think the fact that they went to the trouble of appointing an archaeologist is an indication that they are in fact looking at the detail of the case and not just looking at it in a pro forma routine way, looking to see whether procedures were actually complied with. That in fact the content is also of importance. And it is my view that once they look at the content, they have no option but to come to a conclusion, in my view, that the EIS directive was not properly complied with, and therefore the Irish state has to take some remedial action. What that remedial action will be a matter at the end of the day for some negotiation between the Commission. In terms of complying with the Commission's requirements, will be a matter for negotiation between the government and the Commission. The Commission is always very reluctant to take the legal route. I think, too, that this is one of the reasons, again, why there has been this decision to conclude to complete the Mamola Way in sections and to leave the castle area to one side for the moment. So they're trying to make each way bets in relation to what the outcome of this would be from a government point of view. So as I say, I have no nothing stronger to base my conclusions on other than my own nose, if you like, for the way things are going. In terms of why am I involved in this? It's certainly not to win votes from the commuter belt, anyhow. I'm concerned for a number of reasons. So one is that I believe that if we approve laws in our Oireachtas and we approve laws at European level to protect the public interest, then public authorities, including public representatives, have an obligation to ensure that they're complied with. And it doesn't matter what inconvenience that may cause. If the laws are wrong, and if the laws are inadequate in some way, and the government or other people like Olivia and Mitchell are unhappy with that, then let them bring forward new laws. But the laws have to be complied with, as far as I'm concerned. And it is in that context. These laws are there to protect the public interest, to protect our public interest in the wider sense, not just in the sense of it's my interest to get from A to B as quickly as possible and with the least possible delay. Of course, that's an interest. But the wider public interest demands more. And that demands having regard to a whole range of things, environment, heritage. It has to have regard to inconvenience for others who may be disturbed by the building of roads, and so on and so forth. And so we have a planning process, and we have an appeal process, and we have a provision whereby if the European Union is going to give money for a particular program or project, then there has to be compliance with European rules and regulations to protect the public interest. Not to protect my interest individually, or indeed any particular individual interest, but to protect in general the public in interest. And I have to say, those who attack me because I'm delaying the motorway were probably the very first people to be in the vanguard to stone me if in a few years' time the tribunal throws up evidence that this thing went ahead on the basis of corrupt practices. I have no concerns whatsoever in regard to my support for this particular project. I mean, I, like a lot of other people, want to see the motorway completed. You simply can't, it's gone so far, you can't simply have this thing sort of stopping here and then starting somewhere else. We need to complete it, but we need to find a way to complete it which protects and saves to the greatest degree possible and practical. Carrick Mines Castle site. The other thing is, I suppose, I have a general interest in the issue on the idea of heritage. Not, I have to say, I don't offend anybody, but not from the point of view of a museum piece. It seems to me that Carrick Mines Castle site is living history in a sense. I know it's dead, but it's living in the sense that this is, to a large extent, in my view, this is the point of contact between two civilizations. It seems to me that it would be a crime for us today to allow that to be destroyed, to deny a few future generations the possibility of being able to visit that site and learn from it. I mean, it is, as I say, the physical reality of past history, where there was conflict between, as I say, two civilizations, two peoples. What would be interesting, in fact, to do would be to do a DNA test of all of the people in that immediate area, and people, indeed, of the people of Dublin, and see how many of us came from either side of that conflict. We don't see that difference anymore. It's history, and I think that in itself is an important point to be able to say that's where that conflict was most fierce, and yet here we are living today as people on this island who live in peace with each other, and indeed we even live in peace with those who invaded us in the first place from the other island next door. So I think it's important from that point of view as well, that it's not just a sort of the archaeology and the stones and so on, and the importance of that and the uniqueness of that, but the uniqueness of it in relation to our own past and our own history and our own present and indeed our own future. Given again, if we look at the census of the last few days, where we now see very clearly we're one of the most multi-ethnic states in Europe. We need to be able to cope with that. We need to be able to look at how we dealt with these things in the past. How can we deal with them in the future? So these are all things which I think all sort of reside, if you like, in this issue for me. It's not just a matter of cars being able to speed up and down that stretch of road. It's about this being part of who we are. I conclude on those few remarks. I think it's important. I think those of you, all of you who have been active on this issue, far more active, I have to admit, than I have been. I've done my bit, but I think the credit for getting to where we are is largely down to yourselves who have been so persistent in ensuring that that this piece of important piece of Irish heritage, indeed European heritage, is not lost. Thank you.